I'm very grateful to be here. We are back in Galatians now. We're back in Galatians looking at the Spirit walk. Remember, we came to Galatians through Hosea, the wisdom for our age, that the ways of the Lord are right and the righteous will walk in them. And so we're looking at how to walk in those righteous ways. Our last message was entitled, The Spirit Walk to Win. And that was the first time we started getting into defining what the Spirit walk is. And we looked at, what does it mean? Why should I want to? And where do I start? We were challenged to start in the heart. And I pray these last 3 weeks you've been allowing the Holy Spirit to look and show you in your heart where you're walking with the Lord or where you need to be. Did you know in 1993, there was a book published? It was authored by Bill Bennett that became very popular. It was called The Book of Virtues, right? It told hundreds of stories, poems, and quotes, all with this stated purpose in the book, to help children understand and develop character. There's nothing wrong with wanting that, right? We all want that. The Flyleaf described the book as this: a rich mind of moral literacy, a reliable moral reference point, a source of the ideals by which we wish to live our lives. That sounds like something we would want to read, right? It goes on for 831 pages, and it quotes over 200 individuals listed in the index of the book, from Confucius to Plato to Abraham Lincoln, right? All kinds of names. But interestingly enough, the name of Jesus and the name of the Apostle Paul appear nowhere in the index. Like, wow, something's missing. I want to suggest to us, if you want to find a reliable moral reference, something to anchor your life on, and you want to find ideals by which to live by that develop real, true, lasting character, turn to Jesus and the Word of God. For there is the supreme authority on the issue, right? I'm thankful that we have His Word. Are you thankful for that? We must love the Word of God. You know, as a matter of fact, when it comes to virtues, when it comes to this character development in our life, the Apostle Paul now, in the next section of Galatians where we're going, tells us what that really is in just 9 words. Something the book of virtues took 831 pages. We see it in 9 words. Paul calls it what? The fruit of the Spirit. This is the character that must be developed in our lives, everyone. We must see this developing in our lives. This is the true ideal to live by, the fruit of the Spirit. So as we look at the Spirit walk to win, the Spirit walk, we look at it for the battle of sin over sin in our lives. What did we see just a few short weeks ago? We saw that if we draw on the Holy Spirit's power, there's that first word, walk. If we yield and are led by His guidance, and that second word, walk, if we fall in line with His rules, what will happen? In every temptation through His power, what Paul said in Galatians, we will not carry out the sinful deeds of the flesh, which has great impact on our life, if we do or if we don't, right? So genuine Christianity, everyone, is not just about avoiding the deeds of the flesh in life. Actually, it's about positively developing the fruits of the Spirit in our life, which enable us to avoid those deeds. Amen? So let's read it together. Turn with me to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. Now, let me tell you ahead of time as you're turning there, We will not get through all the fruits by the end of the year. And that's a good thing. And pray for me, because we're going to take each fruit and you're going to do a whole message on one word, which is a challenge in and of itself. So we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to have Christmas. We will be in Galatians moving into the beginning of 2023. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So here we see in Galatians 5:22, we see this quite often in Scripture. It begins with that small but hope-filled word, but. But what? It sets before us the stark, very stark contrast of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And believe me, we know the contrast, do we not? We're going to see that if your life has more flesh in it than fruit, that this not only should not be, but in a wonderful way, it does not need to be the case, which means you have the opportunity to correct it. It doesn't have to be that way. Isn't that a praise? We will look at this wonderful fruit in much more detail later. And if you thought I was starting on the individual fruits today, nope. That's next Sunday. Love, we'll start on. But this morning, I want to make some observations about the fruit in general. Some observations, just like we did with the Spirit walk, so that we understand more about the fruit, so when we come to it individually, we'll have a clearer picture. So we will deal with the fruit before diving each one of them individually. So what did we see? Again, in the Spirit walk, we saw, what does it mean? Why should I want to? And where do I start? We saw that we walk by His power, that we're led by His guidance, and that we fall in line with His ways. Hosea, the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous what? Huh? Walk in them. So today's message is entitled Spirit Fruit. And here's how we're going to start diving into the fruit. The fruit is the produce of the Spirit life. The fruit is the pathway to the abundant life. And the fruit is the picture of the Christ life. And that's what we're going to look at today. Amen. Are we excited? Amen. Are we excited? Amen. Lord, I pray this morning as we look at your fruit, that we see clearly the fruit that you're growing in our life. Lord, each one of us come before you where there's areas in our life where we can develop even more fruit. Lord, where we're not yielding to you all the way. Lord, we want to come before you in humility and allow you to guide us and show us in your word what you want for us and why this is so beneficial. We want to please you today, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So let's start with this first one. The fruit is the produce of the Spirit life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is spiritual fruit. It's the produce of the Holy Spirit, and it is only produced by the Holy Spirit. You like that? It only comes from Him. And it only comes in genuine believers. And as a matter of fact, quite frankly, the evidence that one is truly a believer and has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Wow. You know, when we come to Romans 8, 1 through 11, Paul, he will draw a sharp contrast between those in the flesh and those in the spirit. Those in the flesh are the unsaved, those unbelievers, the non-Christians, which if you're here today and know Christ as your Lord and Savior, those who you once were. I want you to notice something in these verses. Notice how the unsaved in the flesh, those without the fruit, are described. Look at verse 5. Their mind is set on the flesh. Look at verse 7. They are hostile to God. Note it, as they're hostile to God, and notice they're not subject to the law of God, and they're not even able to be. When Paul says, walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, meaning step in line with His ways, those in the flesh without Christ are not even capable to do that. And notice in verse 8, they cannot even please God. Wow. Again, the evidence of the born-again life is the Spirit dwelling in us, producing His fruit. So what have we been talking about in Galatians when we've been looking at the gospel? Remember, in Galatians, we're talking about the flesh that sets itself against the Spirit. And the Bible is clear over and over that once truly saved, always saved. But it is also very clear what truly saved looks like. There will be some fruit in you. Notice what it says, if you have the Spirit, your mind is on the things of the Spirit, verse 5. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, verse 9, if He dwells in you. Look at verse 10, if Christ is in you. Look at verse 11, if the Spirit at the end dwells in you. That's the key. But I praise God for verses 9 and 11. If you are saved by faith through grace, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if you're in Christ, verse 9, 11, and 11, the Spirit dwells in you. Huh? Yeah. Amen. But as I was looking at this, here is the real gut check for all humanity. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Only the believer, we see in Scripture, only the true believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit within them. Now, praise God, we're not talking about perfection. How many of you are thankful for that? We're not talking about perfection. But because the Spirit dwells in you, look at the change in your life. Do you see a change in your life? I mean, you're not hostile toward God anymore. In fact, now something changes. You want to know Him more and more. You are not rebellious as a rule of your life, meaning you don't live in continuous, habitual, rebellious sin against God. You're quick to make right with God. You're quick to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. You're not rebellious to Him as a rule. And you can, and you even want to, in Christ, please God no matter how you fail at times. Before I came to know Christ as my Savior, I kid you not, I never truly wanted to please God. And if I was faking it to make it, it was to please man, not God. That did not resonate in me. But when the Holy Spirit's indwelling me, something is changing. I'm changing. I'm transforming. Because when you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you, like in Ephesians 5:10, are always trying to learn what is pleasing to your Savior. Amen? And because the Spirit dwells in you, because you have life in the Spirit will produce His produce in you. Is that exciting? Think about this when we think of the haves and the have-nots. Only the born-again believer has the Spirit. Only the born-again believer can produce fruit, because only fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus was very clear about this. Do you remember how He clearly stated these things in the sower of the seed parable in Matthew 13? Here we have in Matthew 13, Jesus was sitting by the sea, and large crowds started gathering around Him. So He gets in a boat, and He uses the boat as a stage, and He starts telling the crowd this parable. He describes that there's four groups of people. One group heard, but denied it altogether. Two groups professed to believe and were found to be false. Only one group truly believed. So just like in Corinthians, if Christ is in you, if the Spirit dwells in you, Jesus confirms this as He explains the parable. Look at verse 22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. And He says this, and it becomes unfruitful. Actually, both groups were unfruitful. Both groups were false. But notice what He says of the true believer, the one here who's truly saved. He says, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. And how does he describe it? Who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There was a time in my life where I was some 2, some 5-fold. Real salvation, everyone, we must understand as we get into the Spirit fruit, this is what's so important. If you don't have it in your life, it may be because you don't have Christ in your life. We must understand where this fruit comes from and what it is. See, real salvation transforms and brings forth fruit, whether it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. In verse 13, Jesus said, true believers yield a crop. They yield something. You see, all true believers have the fruit of the Spirit in their life to a growing degree. Look at this person. They have one orange, but they do have an orange. Some are dropping fruit as they walk. Right? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Some have more fruit than others, but all have fruit. When we see through this series, those of us who may see certain fruits are very waning in our life, that's where the Lord's going to convict us. How many of you have all 9 fruits in abundance and they're completely ripe, completely juicy, and you don't need any improvement? Okay, we're all going to need improvement in these fruits, but if you have Christ as your Savior, you do have fruit. It's harvest. The crop, it may not be to the degree that it should be. And we can get rid of the word may there. Let's just say it's not to the degree that Christ would expect it to be. But the real key is it to the degree that we want it to be? Because the heart that wants it to be full is the heart the Lord works with. But here's the thing, it is there in the genuine believer's life. So in this book of virtues that echoes today's modern liberal voices says the fruit of the Spirit and faith and hope and love have nothing distinctively Christian about them, And when that book says, but they are rather the natural laws common to all major faiths, pointing to the goodness in man? No, no, that's a lie. It is wrong. This fruit is only of the Holy Spirit. He gets the glory of transformation in life. It's Him who produces it only in the lives of born-again Christians in whom He dwells. Those who, Paul said in Galatians 5:24, who belong to Christ, see that? And who live, that is their spiritual life, by the Spirit. Amen. And I praise God for my salvation. Do you? Amen. We will see that the love, the joy, the peace, and the other virtues that the Spirit life produces is nothing. Nothing like the world produces. It is genuine and original to God alone. Isn't that beautiful? So the fruit is the produce of the Spirit life, produced only by the Spirit. So next, let's look at this. The fruit is the pathway to the abundant life. How many like that word, abundant life? Oh, man. Let me try to piece this together for us so that we may understand it in a better way. Look with me at what Jesus said in John 7, 37 through 39. He says this, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then John added what he meant. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. Wow. Verse 37. This was the last day of the week-long Feast of Tabernacles, everyone, which was what established as a memorial of God leading them, what? Out of Egypt, and they're wandering in the wilderness where water was scarce. And Jesus here offers living water, rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Spirit. You see, think about it. To those who live in the desert wilderness, this would be very understood what it would look like to see rivers of water flowing right on. And we've seen in Galatians the true gospel. Remember those enslaved to the law as trespassers against God, that they're still in bondage, they're still in slavery, they're still spiritually dead in their sins, they are dry and empty and have no life. Yet the new believer who's born again by faith through grace, alive in Christ, at that very moment of belief in Jesus, they have the indwelling Holy Spirit within them, the living water. Amen. Face it, we understand why water's important in our life, right? Water brings life. You can't live without water. The world cannot live without it. Neither can animals or plant life. And when the Spirit flows freely in you, you are walking in the Spirit. You're walking in His power. You're being guided by the Spirit, following in step with His word, as we saw in the Spirit walk. And when the living water flows freely in you, it takes who you once were, that dry, parched, barren soil, and it makes it fertile. It makes it come alive, and it starts producing a crop and yielding its fruit, and it ushers in a bountiful harvest, and therefore it is the pathway to the abundant life. A life filled with the blessings of the Lord. Those blessings show in many ways. We're not talking about health and wealth. We're talking about how your blessings flow in your relationship to Christ, in His pleasure with you, in your fellowship with Him. Man. The blessings you have through a changed life. You're actually living out His plan for your life. You're happy and in His will and in His good pleasure. And you're being used for His glory and peace and love and joy and patience and so forth are yours in abundance. Amen. You know, how many of you ever gone to an apple orchard? Where'd we just go? Huh? Anderson. You just walk down there. Fruit abundant. That's yours through the Holy Spirit. Fruit in abundance. Jesus said on another occasion, well, before I go there, let me ask you a question. Is that how the average believer would describe their walk in the Holy Spirit? As living water flowing rivers through their heart and life? Wow, it's a good question. But Jesus said on another occasion, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But what did He say about Himself? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Oh, the differences and being lost and found. This word abundantly means superabundant, like overabundant, abundant upon abundant, superabundant, more than what one would expect or anticipate, way beyond the norm. How many of you like abundance like that? That's good. I do. That's the Christian life Jesus spoke of. This is what your Savior wants for you. This fruit is a blessing beyond measure and description of what it does in your life through the Holy Spirit. A life filled with rivers flowing from living waters to not only bless you, but to bless others. A life lived abundantly, far beyond the norm, because true Christians living with the Holy Spirit in them are a peculiar people to the world. We can do what they cannot do. Wow. I can definitely share with you in studying this and developing and coming to you with all of these things, the sadness I've had in my life at times to live far below the norm. How many Christians live so far below the superabundant? The life that God would say should be the norm, with lives not filled with rivers of blessing, but trickles. Just like, man, where is that flowing water? What is happening that it's just trickling in my life? You see, here's what we must understand. It's not God who withholds it from you. It's we who impede that in our life. We impede the Holy Spirit when we start walking in the flesh. What do? We mound up sinful dams, and we wonder why depression is controlling Christianity today. We mound up sinful dams and have anxiety and stress and sin ruling and reigning in our lives and wonder, where are the rivers flowing from the living water of fruit in my life? The beautiful thing about this is you can fix that with God. Amen? I wonder why our lives are filled with so many unnecessary problems. Ruined lives. Bad choices, lack of fruit. And God wants me and you to know, oh, my child, it doesn't have to be that way. I have fruit to put in your life to change your life. How many times do we live so far below the norm with so many unnecessary issues in our life and wonder how to find this seemingly elusive abundant life in Christ? I hear about the abundant life. I hear it said all the time. In fact, it's just a catchphrase in my life anymore. I don't understand it. I don't have it. I play a part. You may think I do, but oh, people say, I really don't know what that means. I've not experienced it. I have trickles of that. You see, this abundant life is not elusive. This fruit is not elusive. It's all right there with God, and He wants to give it to us. You see, I want you to see something and start seeing our faith so positively. Christianity was not meant to be a life of negatives, a life of do's and don'ts, trying not to commit this sin, trying not to commit that one, a life of organized rituals, a life where we just start checking the do's and don'ts off the list. Not, Christianity was never made to be negative like that. The world gets a bad impression of Christianity if that is all it is to us. Then our faith becomes religion, man-made religion. It becomes legalistic. It becomes shallow with no power. And it becomes the gospel hypocrisy that we saw early on in Galatians. And God says, I don't want that for you. Don't get me wrong. Of course, we're to avoid the deeds of the flesh. But that comes, everyone, through the Lord's power when we positively pursue and positively cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And that is where the abundant life begins and the rivers begin to flow from the living water. It's about what we're pursuing that changes what we don't do. Think about this. The Bible, as you know, speaks about the gifts of the Spirit, right? We have the fruits of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. Every single one of you here today have a gift given to you by the Spirit. He speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, and they are wonderful. But think about this for a moment. One can have many gifts of the Spirit, but be sorely lacking in the fruits of the Spirit. What do you mean? Well, you can be a deacon at church and a demon at home. Instead of being a deacon diva, we can have a deacon demon. You can be a gifted teacher in church and a tyrant in your relationships. Who cares if you have the talent to sing like the most beautiful bird, but you can't control your tongue and burn down lives all around you? Who cares if you have all the Bible doctrine down and all the theology, but you can't control your lust? Here's what we must know as we move into this fruit. The gifts of the Spirit enable us to serve effectively, but the fruit of the Spirit enables us to live effectively. Amen? The secret, my friends, of really living of the abundant life is fruit bearing. Allowing the living water, the Spirit, to flow rivers through you. Today, in our culture, we're drawn to what the eye sees. We're drawn to the big. We're drawn to the show. So many are drawn today to the charismatic, to the spectacular, to the seeming miraculous gifts and the ministries. But I'm here to tell you, the greatest miracle, the greatest supernatural work in the world is a transformed life manifested by yielding fruit from the Spirit, because we could never do that in and of our own strength. God changes lives. That's the proof of who He is and His power in you. I love that. And I just have to be who God's made me to be. As a quick example of this, look at the fruit of love. Paul spends a lot of time about talking about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. Man, all these gifts. Recall what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:31 after discussing all of the gifts of the Spirit. He said, after all those gifts of the Spirit, and I show you still more excellent way. What? Not a more excellent gift? A more excellent way to exercise the gifts, which is love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. without which anything you do amounts to nothing. You see, know this. It is the being which is the fruit, not just the doing, that the abundant life is realized. Who are you? What is going on in your heart? And it is the being where the more excellent way comes. And then comes the good works that last, that are real, that are authentic. It is in the Holy Spirit indwelling you, producing His fruit in you, that the abundant life is discovered, where it is displayed for others to see. Let me see some smiles. Amen. Do you want that? It's yours for the taking. It's right there. God will give it to you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You can have it in abundance. So the fruit is the produce of the Spirit life. The fruit is the pathway to the abundant life. And as we close today, the fruit is the picture of the Christ life. Say, hey, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? I mean, what is His overall purpose? Jesus said in John 16, 13 through 14, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will glorify Me. While that had special application to the apostles, it is still just as true of the Spirit's ministry today, which is to glorify Jesus and to lift up Jesus. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is to magnify Christ in your life, not only in our hearts, but in our lives, that others may see Him. Remember, we saw this was the heart of Paul's inspired and His empowered ministry. Remember what he said in Galatians 4:19, my children with whom I am again in labor until what? Christ is formed in you. The fruit of the Spirit is just, my friends, the character of Christ being formed in each and every one of us. It's not, you know, you're not going to go get an x-ray from a doctor and say, man, something is weird happening in you, Edie. I see something in the shape of a banana and an apple and some grapes dangling off your heart. We got to go see what that's all about. No. It is Jesus being formed in you. Here is that played out. This is it played out in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, that's for all to see, beholding as in a mirror, we reflect the image of Christ like in a mirror. The glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Therefore, we are being transformed in ever-increasing splendor into His image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, the transformation comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It comes from Him and Him alone. And He's transforming you into the image of the One who died for you. There's the fruit. Isn't that beautiful? I want that. I want that. This is the ongoing process in the believer's life who is yielded to the Holy Spirit that will go on until we step into glory, and then we'll be able to do it perfectly. Yay? Yeah. Has there ever been anyone, think about this, who has so perfectly manifested the fruit of the Spirit than Jesus Christ Himself? So that's what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Now let me put something together for you as we near the end. The Holy Spirit is called that because He's holy. Believe it or not, that's not just His first name. Jesus has one name, the Father, but what's your name? Mr. Spirit. Oh, no, what's your first name? I'm holy. Hey, holy. No. That's not just His first name. And as we said before, the Spirit is not just hanging out in our lives wanting to do nothing. He is indwelling you with a purpose and with a mission and a goal, which is to produce in you holiness. It is his purpose. That's the purpose of the Spirit. Therefore, he's the Holy Spirit to make you feel holy so that you feel can be like Christ, look like Christ, act like Christ, be Christ in a world that desperately needs Christ. Wow. His name alone defines his mission in our lives, to transform us into the image of Christ and to bring us to glory. Oh, and to bring glory to Christ alone. Wow. Let me encourage you, don't cringe at that. Don't let Satan mess with you. Don't cringe at that. Holiness is not some awful fate. Oh man, I gotta give up the pleasures of the world. I hate that word holy. That's so confining. No. That's a lie. It does not bring some awful fate. It does not take the fun out of life. In fact, it is the doorway to the abundant life. See, holiness is seen in the character of Jesus. The very fruit of the Holy Spirit loves you and seeks to produce that in you, which we have seen is the pathway to the abundant life that Jesus desires for you to have. It's a beautiful thing. The world, my friends, is not much impressed by believers living in the flesh, pretty much like the world. It's impressed with believers living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit as they manifest Christ in the world. You can do this. We can do this. You can do this. And the Spirit will do this if you're wanting and if you're willing. Isn't that awesome? So we looked at the Spirit walk. What does it mean? Why should I want to? And where do I start? And now we have seen that the fruit is the produce of the Spirit life, produced by the Spirit. The fruit is the pathway to the abundant life. And the fruit is the picture of the Christ life. We have everything we need to have the living water flowing through us in abundance, deep and wide, deep and wide. So as we close, what sinful dams have you built in your life? What is in your life that is impeding that flow? Remember in Hosea when we looked at the harvest, the law of the harvest, and God wanted them to break up their fallow ground. What ground needs broken up and yielded to the Holy Spirit that we may grow his fruit? Ask yourself those things and be encouraged today that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you and you have all of this through his power, his strength, because he loves you. I love that. Next week, we dive into the fruit of love. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your fruit in our lives. Oh, Lord, let us yield all of our life to you. Build this fruit and make it in abundance in our life. Lord, we want to walk in the abundant life. We want to be used for you. We want that relationship with you. We want to grow in the knowledge of you and your love. Oh, Lord, forgive us where we impede that flow. Forgive us where we quench your Spirit. Lord, let us see this fruit as what it truly is, only something that you can produce. Let us see it as that pathway of abundant living in you. Let us see it as the Christ-like picture in our life where, Lord, we see the Spirit's work in our life to make us holy, to be like you. What better thing could there be? Oh, Lord, let us not buy into the lies of this world. Let us see the beauty of your word, the beauty of you, and what you want to do in our life, let us yield that to you. Let us give all of ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, this week as we go out into the highways and the byways, that we will be the picture of you to a lost and dying world. That you will continue to transform us into your image, and that we will allow that and want that. And that we will pursue that and engage in that with you. Let us be lovers of your word and be in deep prayer and then do your word. Lord, I just pray and thank you for saving me and for saving us. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone in here today who knows that fruit's not there, who knows that they truly don't know you, Lord, convict them today. Let them come to know you as their Lord and Savior on this very day. In your precious name we pray. Amen.